Welcome to the hit show Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you struggling with loss? Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Beyond Proof Radio is a space that explores beyond current self-limiting beliefs surrounding loss, offering radical healing, which will come from the least likely of places. Join Angie on her journey, which includes science, medicine, and spirituality, proving that the body is merely a shell of our soul. It's possible to create an amazing life from the depths of pain. It's your life. It's your choice. Now, here's your host.
Welcome, my beautiful, beautiful listeners, to this beautiful Wednesday. I am both honored and privileged to have my guest, Joe McQuillan, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. So sit back, get your folding chair, your cigar, my water, and you all, this will be a roller coaster ride, just as his book says. So before I bring Joe on, I want to share with you all first, I'm going to break this down into four components. First, who is Joe? Who is Chris? How did he die? And then why Joe chose to write his book. Then in the second segment, it's going to be the search, his visits with mediums, not judging the messages that we are being pushed by our loved ones on the other side, and maybe helping dispel some of the myths. He is a born and raised Buffalo, New York kid, tough guy, living in Chicago now. We don't know why we've been called. Well, I shouldn't say that. We do know why we've been called to do this. Nick and Chris were our sons, 19 and 20 years old, when they died. And we'll go into the third segment, which goes into some of the signs, voices, vibrations, symbols, things that Joe has physically and evidentially found proof that Chris is on the other side or right here dwelling with us. And then last but not least, what death has taught both Joe and myself. So starting with that, I want to read chapter 4. I want to read you all one paragraph, and I'm going to cry. I am not going to apologize. But on page 41, and this is so true, any of you who are dealing with the loss of a loved one. This is from Joe's book. He has sent me signs and has played me songs to let me know he's around. But you need to know that none of that can repair the hole in my heart. None of it can equal a hug, a smile, or an I love you too, Dad. I have come away from encounters and readings feeling a great knowing we are still together in spirit. However, there is always the eventual deflating feeling that follows. Having his spirit is all I've got, but please understand that it's not the same and will never be until we are together on the other side. With that, Joe, welcome to my program. Honored and privileged.
Angie, thank you. You know, I wrote that, or at least was the scribe who took it down, and you got me crying. So I guess we know where it came from, right?
We know where it came from. And you jumped ahead a little bit because you're absolutely right. This book, you all, I'm so proud of you, Joe, for absolutely writing it. At the very end, you do mention that Chris had to kind of nudge you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't my intention to write a book. I mean, to be honest with you, Angie, I thought I had taken notes down from mediums and sessions and such so that, you know, a few years from now, I'd be sitting on a rocking chair on a porch smoking a cigar and reading those notes. I had no idea. You know, the Greeks used to say that man plans and gods laugh. So I thought they were just for my own use, you know, and then all of a sudden, a year into it, I'm told that this is going to be a book. And then when I slacked off or started feeling sorry for myself, he would nudge me, and sometimes he would cosmically kick my butt, you know, and tell me, we have work to do. You've got people to help.
Yeah.
You know, so, well, you know, I so really much. Believe that this is such a gift. And so the truth of the matter is I'm working hard because I don't want to lose that gift of communication that I got by being lazy. So.
Oh, beautifully said. So, Joe, who are you? Can you just tell me just a couple minutes to my audience? You're not just some pie in the sky, like frou-frou woo-woo kind of man.
Well, it's just the opposite. I'm the youngest of 10 kids in an Irish Catholic family from Buffalo, blue collar. Family. My dad spent 40 years on the railroad. And he was a wonderfully loving man. Never left a conversation without saying, I love you. And I know he's with my Chris now. I've been told that. In fact, he's come through to mediums and said, tell Joe that I've got the kid, you know. And, you know, so he was, but his nickname on the railroad was Iron Joe. He was the union steward. He was the man. And all the men went to him for all their union problems and issues. And, you know, so, you know, that's who raised us. And, you know, all of us, all five boys worked on the railroad during college. And I was a brakeman on the railroad, actually got to work a few shifts with the old man. And I remember going to the railroad yard when I was young, when he was a yard master, and sleeping up in the yard master tower with him and spending the night and this warm feeling. So I was raised by a guy who knew how to love his son. And so, you know, it taught me how to love my boy. You know, I feel bad for people with crappy parents because my dad, you know, taught me how to tough guys can love too. So, you know, we're a blue collar family and 10 kids. And, you know, we believed in God because we were told to go to church, which we'd get there late and leave early as soon as possible. But I never had this. You know, calling or you know, feeling that I was drawn to the other side, and yet events pushed me in that direction.
And you can see a picture of Iron Man on page 190. And was he a tough dad too? Tough love?
You know what is funny? I remember I'm the youngest of 10.
Yeah, so you got filtered.
Right. Well, older brothers and sisters were like, what the heck's going on here? You know, because, you know, they were so strict early on. And then by the time I came around, and I was, you know, like my kid, you know, I had a little wildness in me. And I think they were just grateful I didn't go to prison, you know, and, they're a little more accepting of childish flaws for the second group than they did for the first two. And literally, we were raised almost in groups. There was the four earlier, then three, and then us, you know. And, and that's how we were raised, you know, the five group, the 10 kids, you know. So, yeah, the old man was tough as nails on the outside. And he would give a toast every Thanksgiving, Easter. And it was the toast was there, take this down because it's a little complicated. To my family was the toast, and he never made it through it without crying. You know, so that's kind of the complicated guy he was. But I sure do miss him and love him.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. You painted such a vivid, beautiful picture of him. And then now let's move on, Joe, to your journey now, or what started in January of 2016. Who was Chris, and how did he die? If you can share with my
sure, response. Of course I can. You know, people funny. You know, we're doing an interview, so of course I'm going to share. But other people said, "Gee, I hope I didn't bring up a memory or something." And I said, "You know, he's always with me." And
I just want to get to the other side because that's the fun part. So yeah. I hesitate having you share, but. Oh, I feel him. I just feel his spirit. He's
I'm not
funny
surprised.
Guy.
He's a funny guy. And I tell you what, he will Shanghai you. So be careful. He'll rope you in. He did it with, I have this phenomenal publisher, Lisa Hagen, and he just Shanghai'd her, you know, and made her join the cruise, you know, so you might be in, Ange. You might be careful. So I'll give you a bridge.
On the other side with my son, and they're both going to do
that. Well, 19 and 20, they're probably kicking up their heels a little bit and causing a little trouble. But God, he was a sweet kid. But he was a handful. You know, I always tease that he gets that from his mom's side of the family, not us, which isn't true. Right. So in Christmas of 2015, he, you know, all his friends came back for college. And this is the last weekend before they're all going back. So they all went to a friend's house. Their parents owned a lake house in Lake Beulah in Wisconsin, which is about an hour and a half north of us. And Sally and I were kind of relieved because they'd spent New Year's Eve downtown, and you know, yeah, they were going to be in this bucolic setting where maybe things a little more laid back, and we didn't have to worry about anybody driving or you know, any traffic. So, you know, they all, a dozen of them went up there and were shooting pool at a local place. They were all staying at this lake house and drinking and kicking up their heels. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, they walked out and decided to, they saw a boathouse and decided to take a canoe out for a ride. And it was a perfect storm, partially frozen lake, you know, Timberland boots and layered clothing and a snoot full of alcohol, you know, and they all paddled out. None of them made it back. And that was January 3rd, 2016, right about 3 o'clock in the morning.
And then in the book, you all can read the feelings and the emotions that went with that. And Joe, you mentioned too, when you were kind of, you knew there was a feeling in you that just knew that something was not right.
Well, you know what? That I couldn't decipher that till later, Ange. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning with this horrible nightmare, but it was about something inconsequential, you know, forgetting your homework or, you know, walking down the hallway in your underwear or something. But I woke up and I just couldn't shake the dread, and I didn't know what it was. But I'll tell you, when I got the call or the text that said, you know, Chris and a couple of his friends are missing, Sally, I think, went right away to, oh my God, I think something's, he could be gone. And I went to, I'm going to go up there and find him with some co-eds or some other pals hanging out in a boathouse and passing out and, you know, being mad at him for, you know, and halfway up, I got the call that said it was no longer a search and rescue, but a recovery that all four had drowned.
Oh, those moments. And yeah. We're right up on break, Joe. Thank you so much. We're going to start the next segment by just talking about why you chose to write the book. What was that nudge? And so when we come back, thank you all for joining us on this beautiful, beautiful journey with Joe McQuillan, author of My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, when we come back.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Goddess Light shamanic healer Brie Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds, bringing forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Brie as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and more. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific for the Dr. Brie Show, The Goddess Emergence, and live the authentic life.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every first and third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, to segment two. Before we get started, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. Joe, welcome back again. And what was that nudge from the time that Chris was gone to the time that you started, that you wanted to write this book, of all the experiences with all the people that have guided you to mediums and looking outside yourself for answers?
That's a great question. I'm going to tell you, I didn't intend to write this book. I didn't want to write a book. I wanted to go through life feeling sorry for myself and keeping everybody at bay, you know? So when I wrote these things, these were, you know, selfish for me. You know, I was writing the notes. I wanted to continue to live it. I still wanted to touch base with him. And so a year into it, just over a year, so just after I started getting connections with him, where I did some spirit writing, my brother-in-law was over at the house with and Sally's brother, and they were just talking about when Chris was a kid playing hide and seek. He was tenacious, and he'd say hide again and take off, and he'd play for hours. And so I overheard this upstairs, and I didn't want to come down because I didn't want to socialize. I mean, I've got to feel sorry for myself. That takes time. So I did go down and say hello, and then I walked upstairs, and something about the term hide again, and I knew that he was somewhere else, and I needed to find him. And I sat down at my desk and started writing this book. And that was in May of 2017. And so it was, and I let Chris guide the entire process. He was there with every keystroke, every paragraph. He was there. And you had said during the break how putting down the book, sometimes you're afraid of, you know, that maybe it'll drop the connection. How do you think I feel coming to the end of the book? It was like, oh my God, will I lose this connection once I stop, you know, writing this book? And you know, he hasn't left my side yet. So I got a feeling that he and I are good. And I have a feeling that you and Nick are good, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I get that every day. The one area that we differ a little is I hear, and maybe this has changed since you've written the book, Joe.
Right.
I feel that Nick is like a guardian angel for me, where I will feel like, hey, Mom, I got this. And I have to trust that he's got it. Usually it has to do with his little brother.
Right.
Hey, Mom, trust me, I got this. And when I don't listen, Mom, sit down, or I'm not going to feed you any more information for that book. Right. And he doesn't. So hasn't it taught you to be more aware, Joe, to listen to those little voices inside and those callings from our sons?
And the faith, you know, I mean, it was in the book, you could read, there was times it was almost like you felt him rolling his eyes like, Dad, I'm not going anywhere. How many times do I got to tell you? You know, I know you're a thick headed Irishman, but for criminy's sake, listen up. You know, I'm not going, you know, this is going to continue. Just keep doing the work. And the good news, you know, Ange, is I've started a second book, and I'm going to the end of this month. I'm heading to a fundraiser at Imbalance Ranch. They asked me to talk to the boys, which is my favorite thing to do all year long. And 40 boys, you know, dealing with recovery issues from 14 to 18. And I'm out the fundraiser, and there might be a couple rounds of golf and a humidor full of cigars. And then I'm going to go spend the last day and a half out in Sedona when I was on a spirit tour and vortex and accumulating data for book two. That's going to deal with some more of these thin places where where the wall between two worlds are thinnest. And I'm told that's one. So I'll let you know.
I love that. I already believe that. I love Sedona, and it's called the Vortex of.
Yep. I'm taking a Vortex tour with one woman. I reached out, I nailed it, and I said, you know, one-on-one. I said, I don't want anybody else going. I don't need any knuckleheads going along with me on this trip.
Right. is so wonderful. No, I love that. And you all can read in Joe's book as well some of the key areas that Chris kind of led him to and read about those profound. So what I want to do now, though, is get into the search, because you had, and I hear this so many from my audiences and from people I work with every day, and that is, Angie, how do you know, do you believe it? And they're afraid, Joe, especially, I mean, I'm coming from a Roman Catholic family.
You and me both.
You be in your church pew every Sunday, and we don't care if it's in Spanish, and we don't understand a word, we better be in there just in case, just in case. So my question to you, what can you tell my listeners? Because you visited quite a few mediums, and what would you tell those that feel that it is wrong, that it is voodoo, that it goes against everything that they believed in? Because I have to tell you, that's been my whole healing process started with a medium.
Right. Me too. Mine was, I'm going to stop, you know, it's 15, 18 years ago. I stumbled on a medium just to get some life answers or whatever. And I was curious, but I didn't need to meet anybody on the other side. There was nothing urgent. And my dad came through at the very end. The whole medium, there wasn't a lot of meat because I didn't need it. Right. I really believe there's a sense of urgency when somebody like you and I lost a child, you know. So and she said, I'm getting ready to go. And she said, your dad's here. And he says, railroad. And he's showing you. And he's showing me a caboose. He's holding a caboose. So all of a sudden, it was real. He didn't tell me the answers of the universe. He didn't tell me, you know, what horse to bet on at the Kentucky Derby. He just wanted me to know that he was there. And I just put that in a file cabinet in my brain for 15 years until I needed it when Chris crossed. So when Chris crossed, I said, wait a minute. 15 years ago, I got some confirmation. There is another side. My old man's there. So if Chris is there, I want to find out. And if it's not, let me cut it off, scratch it off the list, and move on, you know. But I'll tell you something. I was 13 years of Catholic school. The last one, you know, we came to a parting of the ways, me and Gannon College near EPA, you know. But 13 years of Catholic school, and I've got no beef. You know, I'm a big fan of the New Testament and the old one. But anybody wants to know if this is the devil at work, John 16:16 says, after a little time, you will see me no longer. And then again, after a little time, you will see me again. And that was Christ talking about coming back. You know, so if you're questioning whether this is endorsed by, you know, organized religion, yeah, it is. You know, it's talked about often. You know, so
well,
there's nothing.
I think it was the Catholic Church that said, excuse me for interrupting you.
No,
the
please.
Communion of saints.
Yeah, that's right. The communion of saints. You know, so if we believe that, if I call on Mary and the Holy Spirit for wisdom and we believe what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus, then for criminy's sakes, quit doubting this. You know, we have a higher voice. I know what my higher voice is. I know when it's my will and when I'm getting a higher voice. And I don't always take the higher voice, and I usually pay for it. But the higher voice is God's voice, or in this case, it could be a, you know, it could be your boy, and Christopher throws me, you know, help all the time. It could be, you know, anybody that's trying to reach you to help guide you. So I would just say, you know, pray for clarity and then accept the help. You know, that's what I believe. You know, I believe there's nothing wrong with loving people on the other side.
And I believe, and Joe, do you agree with me? I feel since this has happened, and yes, I would much prefer to just be complacent and loving my life and doing what I had done for 30 years, which was biotech. And here now I'm talking about the other side. Right. But I feel, and if you all, because we're getting ready to head on break in a few minutes, so I don't want to go in too deep about anything. Well, this is already deep. I feel that there is, I'm more rounded, Joe, I have only am I walking on this earth with my feet, but I've got the guidance from this other side, which means that we're never, ever really alone. And they're not somewhere over there. They are right here. They just can't be seen.
What does it say in the Course in Miracles? The Course in Miracles says, if you knew who walked beside you all the time on this path you've chosen, you'd never have fear again. And that was Christ coming through to give us words. So, you know, we're all on the same page here. Just got to accept it.
Right. And so what I want to go to now, and I love what you, I mean, and I have to share this because I found myself roller coaster rides. At the beginning of the show, I shared with you all chapter 4, okay, bawling my eyes out. And then all of a sudden you come to page 26 and it's, Dad, you got to see this. It's fucking amazing. I love that. And now this is not condoning death. This is not, you know, taking yourself out of our human experience, because it's not over. So if you think it's over, it's not. They're just different lessons, is my thought. But so thank you for sharing about how dispelling the myths, but let's go into some of the, what was the first sign, Joe, that you knew that Chris was okay? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. I had, you know, a couple of days afterwards, in the middle of picking out grave sites and receptions and readings for the mass and all of that and the phone calls, you know, I had reached out to Nancine Myers, who's in Arizona now, but she was the one I met 15 years ago, and I reached out to her, and she told me some things that only Chris and I knew. So all of a sudden, I had a 15-year-old memory of something concrete, and now I have somebody telling me how my boy died with Timberland boots untied and layered clothing. This wasn't in any newspaper. She didn't know anything about it. She's in Arizona, not Illinois. And so all of a sudden I had concrete evidence that this is real. And it's like, now what are you going to do with it? You know, you've got some evidence that he's there and he's horribly sorry. And it was a bad mistake and he's taking ownership. But now what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with this? How do you get close to your son? How do you stay close to the kid that was so close to you on this side? And I had to work at it. You know, Angie, when people call and say, you know, I haven't heard from my brother. He died 10 years ago, or my mother. I'd say, work harder. What have you done to turn over the rock? Right? Work harder. Try harder.
Pull up your big boy, big girl panties and.
Yeah, that's right. Get up. pull up your underoos and get and suck it up and let's get harder, you know?
I love that. Okay, guys, Joe, I don't mean to interrupt, but we're coming on 30 seconds and we're at the second. You guys really have two more segments. So stay with us. We are going to continue on with the signs, voices, vibrations, how we can connect. Joe, when we come back, thank you so much for being here.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
Mine. When we come back, thank you all for joining us.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, to this Wednesday program with Joe McQuillan, author of My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. And when we left before break, we were talking, Joe, about the concrete evidence. And I want to point out here to my listeners, this takes discernment. Joe met Nancine several years before this happened. And I'm going to share something personally from my little vault here, if you will. And that is, in the early 90s, I was very, very interested, not in that I would ever need this, but for the pure, just morbid curiosity, I guess you can call it. I was really interested in James von Prague. And yeah. Joe, so when Nick died, I didn't question, James von Prague, but James von Prague is the leading world expert in evidence-based mediumship, meaning he doesn't just say spirits are telling me that, oh, let's see, Chris was a Libra or Leo or whatever Chris was, and Nick was a Leo, so that means, no, they don't want to hear from us. And Joe, I want to share this because it was so interesting. I had Suzanne Giesman on my program right
now. Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm telling you, it's all connected.
Still right here. I steal her term. Still right here. I write it in my book. Tell her, sir.
Right here. So it was interesting. We were on a show before Christmas and everybody told me, oh, she's going to be so busy. I reached out. She's like, Angie, I would love to be on your show. I love this woman. And it was so interesting. In her book, at the end of the show, she had said, and this tells you guys how all connected we are. She said, I was telling her about my experience with James von Prague. And in my experience of sitting in 120 people and just doing research for my book, he had said, did anyone in your family wear braces? And I'm like, oh my God, my ex-husband at the age of 54 got braces. And that is a little uncommon. So that's the triviality that our loved ones know. And some people, everyone, braces and braces. No. It's because of the trivial that makes this a miracle.
Right.
So I shared this, Joe, with Suzanne at the last part of my show. James von Prague said, your son wants to tell his dad to quit, that he died once, to quit killing him every day with his thoughts.
Oh, boy.
And so I shared, she goes, that was you? And I'm like, and I didn't think anything of it. I went back to the program and listened. I didn't act surprised or anything. Yeah, it was me. This was written in the preface of her book when Suzanne Giesemann and James von Prague were sitting together at dinner.
Oh, my gosh.
She says, recently I had the honor of dining with my esteemed fellow medium, James von Prague. He shared a poignant message that a child in spirit had delivered to his parents. I died once, said the child. Don't make me die every day.
Wow.
So, Joe, with that, talk to us about the signs, the evidence, the concrete evidence that you were talking about before we left for break.
Okay, so here I'm going to go. I'm going to fast forward to, I wanted to see a medium in person. So Nancine was in Arizona. I had some great meetings, readings from her on the phone, and it was lovely. But I wanted to look in the face of somebody who was looking at my son. I wanted somebody who was, all the Claires, right? And so I went online, and Bob Olson has a website, and I found this guy, Andrew Anderson. And he's in the western suburbs. So I called and made an appointment. And it was Joe, right? Just Joe was making an appointment. And it was an hour, about 40 minutes from my house. So I drove out there. Well, that morning, unbeknownst to anybody, I mean anybody on the planet, I had ordered some Shamrocks. And I had moved Christopher's grave over from one spot to the other because I didn't want somebody thinking he was part of another family. That's that whole part of that.
You were pissed off.
Irish clan,
you know.
right. That's, and now that's going to be my grave. You know, I'm so glad I did it. I'll lay on that side, his mom on the other side. But he wasn't somebody else's kid. He was friggin' mine. You know, so.
And he's
so
like, Dad, it doesn't matter. I'm still here. I don't.
But you want to know something? He's actually come through recently with an amazing medium, and this Tony, and she said he's grateful you moved him. He loves the spot. Now, can you believe that? It's not because he lives there. It's because we come there and we visit, and my energy is happy there because I moved him. And so that's what makes it a good move. So that day, I stopped in June. It was in June, and it was actually June 30th of 2016. So, you know, 6 months after Christopher crossed over. So I planted these shamrocks around his grave. And before I left the house, I reached in and I grabbed a bracelet, a leather bracelet that Chris gave me at Disney World when he was five, maybe. That says Dad on it. It's got a picture, you know, Goofy on the clasp. And I never wore it, but it was I kept it in my dresser. So I put that on under my shirt. Went to the grave, planted these things, boom, shot out to see Andrew. I walked in and he said, hey, your family was all together last night, you know, for some celebration. And that was my wife's and my wedding anniversary. He said, your son's here. He said, he's beautifully, looks like Brad Pitt. He acknowledges that you guys celebrated his birthday the way you always did, which we did on his birthday in April 15th. We went to Rana, Japan, had the once a year family dinner for each of the kids. Then we released Chinese lanterns. And he said, and he acknowledges you released lanterns and balloons at his grave, which we did. Then he said, so I'm like, oh boy, you got to understand, we're 10 minutes in this thing. Then he said, Chris acknowledges that you planted something at his grave today and that you're wearing the bracelet he's given you. Now, bracelet was under my sleeve. My wife didn't know I planted those because I left home, planted them, went to saw Andrew. So if there's, even somebody who wants to see conspiracy theories, you can't make that one up.
This is what Suzanne Giesemann would say to Joe. These are those un-Google moments.
Yeah.
These are things that nobody would know. I mean, you would never even go put on Facebook, if you're into that thing, that would say, oh, today I'm putting on my leather Goofy bracelet and I'm putting on my, you just don't. And that's, you guys, that is the key.
Yeah, I didn't say, by the way, you know, dear Facebook friends, I am heading to the grave to plant shamrocks. It was, there was nobody on the planet besides Chris and I that knew I was doing that.
Right.
And he came forward with this and I said, okay, this is legit. Quit doubting. This is real. What are you going to do about it? And that's where it continued for me. It was concrete. It was cement. Thomas John said to me when I met with him in person in August a year ago, and Thomas said to me, "You're there's a woman on the other side of the family, your side of the family, excuse me. She died, 2012 or 13. She was in her 40s. She left two boys, Ryan and Alex, and she helped Christopher cross over. That was my niece, Carrie. He said she died of some kind of aneurysm. She had a brain aneurysm. Now, her name, she was born Carrie Ryan. She was my daughter's, my sister's daughter. She was married to Bill Van Cott. There's no connection between us. She had died 5 years prior to that. So there was no connection between me and Carrie Van Cott. And it was like, bam, it was like somebody just dumped cold water over me. And he said, Chris says you're holding, that you have a necklace of his with you, that you're holding it. I reached over to my left hand was closed. I opened up and it was his St. Christopher medal from when he was baptized that his godfather Michael had given him. Oh. Now, it's like, guys, that doesn't, and if you don't want to believe it, turn off the radio, go do something else because you're wasting your time because this evidence is so strong that it's real. You just got to let go. It's like walking up. I'm old enough to remember the high dive boards in public pools, right? Insurance won't let those happen anymore. But it's like walking up to the top of those. And there was always another 20 kids right below you on the ladder. You couldn't turn around and go backwards. So the only thing you could do is, step off the ladder, man, and go down into the pool. Yeah. And that's what you got to do with this stuff. You just got to let go, man.
I love that. I think that's going to be my motto for you. You just got to let go, man. That is, thank you for sharing that. And because a lot of my mission and my passion and my purpose is sharing with people because they've been frauded. We all have to be very discerning.
Yes.
Just don't you agree, Joe? Because I think that's what's given mediums a bad name.
I do too.
Yeah. I mean, in one of my chapters in my book is called Don't Feed the Medium. They don't from us human beings. They're trying to give us information, and that's why we're there. So shut up.
Yeah, don't fix it. Don't try to fix the outcome.
Right.
I spent 25 years in the car business. 25 years. I was a car dealer, right? I'm not a very gullible cat. You know what I mean? I'm the wrong guy to try to fool. I have a pretty good instinct for people and events. And the bottom line is, you're really not going to probably pull one over on me. And nobody's tried. But I really think, like chefs and left-handed relief pitchers, there's good ones, there's average ones, and there's bad ones, right? Yeah. And then there's a few that are just great ones,
And, before we go on break, Joe, I want to... Yes, exactly. We have 1 minute and I want to ask you this.
Sure.
So with me and James Von Prague in the early 90s and you and Nancine, 15 years prior?
Yeah. Like 2000. 2000.
Isn't it a little coincidental that we both got such profound messages from people that we never knew how profound they were going to be in our life now?
Yeah, that's a real coincidence, don't you think?
I don't believe in coincidences.
Neither do I. I think a coincidence is just God showing off,
And I love that. And, when we come back, we're going to talk about coincidences. And then I want to talk about that 3 to 4 a.m. If any of you are experiencing the witching hour. Anyway, Joe, thank you so much. I'm having such a wonderful time.
So am I.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about the witching hour. And also, Joe, the witching hour and some of the sounds and vibrations you're getting from Chris as well.
You got it.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? you can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo. Live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer and co-host matchmaker Peggy Bennett share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit richerhealinghypnosis.com.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, to the last segment with my beautiful guest, Joe. This has been so fun.
I've enjoyed the heck out of it.
I am just, and on break, we were talking about how it is the, not that we're nobodies, you all, but this happened to normal people. I would like to consider myself, you know, just kind of normal that I didn't get into this. Joe, you didn't ask for this. We didn't ask to be talking to dead people. I'm sure you would prefer to do financial services. I would prefer to be doing biotech, but for whatever reason.
Blissful ignorance. I think we'd both prefer a hug and a kiss from our boys and blissful ignorance on the other side. But that isn't the path that we were put on.
Right. I love that blissful ignorance. And so when we choose to grieve, and you, my listeners know, and I will be very honest, there are days that I still fall to my knees, just bawling my eyes out.
You mean like 10 minutes before this interview when
I was
crying my eyes out about something? I'm going to tell you, Angie, I walked in the door for this interview. I was downtown working, and I live in the north suburbs, and as I opened the door, and I had my dog with me at the office today, you know, because I still do whatever I want, you know. And as I walked in the door, I saw my younger sons, who's home, Williams, Timberland boots, you know, just next to each other, you know, as I opened the door, and I just started crying. So, you know, it's like I saw the boots and thought, oh, Chris is home, you know, and it's been 3 years and you still step on those emotional landmines, you know, and I just let it flow through and cried and then got on with the rest of my day and blessed him for loving me.
There is the key, and that is, I know when, in my experience, I was afraid to cry at first because I never thought it was going to stop, but I realized how cathartic and refreshing it was, because in the depths of pain, I knew that I was going to come out, Joe, and be okay.
Well, I'm okay. And it's funny, you know, people say things like time heals all wounds, never lost a kid. Because as crazy as it sounds, I came home and, you know, the last weekend was tough for us. I don't know why. You know, it didn't prevent me from doing what I'm supposed to do, you know, including working, playing hockey, walk the dog, you know, but as long as I love him this much, and even though the love hurts, that means we're still connected. So I'm not willing to give that up,
right.
You know, just to have an easier day. You know, I'll take a tougher day with the connection. Yeah, I'll take the tougher day. I'm okay. I'm a tough guy. I can take the tougher day and still be connected to my son.
And I thank you for sharing that, because we will never, this is a new normal for any of you out there. And I'm sure those, my listeners who are listening, have lost someone, a child, a mother, a father, a grand, whatever. Loss is loss. And in our humanness, it is because we're human that we miss and we long, and it's grief. And I call grief an emotion, Joe, because I chose not to, I did not want grief to define me, and I did not want grief to be a mental disorder for me for the rest of my life. Do you
feel
that
way? Disability.
Right.
I don't want a special plane, or, you know, a special seat on the plane because I'm grieving. You know what I mean? We've all got our little red wagons, Angie. We all got our baggage, you know?
We all have our baggage. And so, Joe, with that, I do want to touch upon, and I know we're coming on, and you all, Joe and I have decided, we agreed on break that we were going to meet, and we were going to do maybe, Joe, just like a couple hours and post it up on YouTube or something like that for you all, and really, really dive in deep. On some of these issues, if you're questioning, I would love to meet you.
Like this was all surface that you and I've been doing for this?
I know. Okay, stop. Jeez. Yeah, this is all fake and shallow.
Yeah.
But I do want to go back, because we talked, I think you have it on, like, you've mentioned it several times, page 29, page 72, and 73 again. The witching hour, you all, if you are being, and I think Wayne Dyer had said, don't go back to sleep. And I want to share this poem by Rumi and Joe, or Joe, you know, we just got through talking about Rumi. It's just, it's sitting right in front of me. So I'm going to share it.
Must be a new age, must be a new age poem.
It must be. Let's
see.
Only
from the 13th century.
Oh my gosh. I know. Now I'm looking to see when it, and it doesn't have it on here. It just has when it was published in, but yeah, this is 13th century by Rumi. The breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. I think that's when the veil is the most thin.
Holy Christ, that's amazing. That's an amazing.
Stuff.
Me too.
And I have the poem, so.
Yeah, I want it. You know, that's absolutely amazing. So let me tell you what 3 o'clock in the morning was. And like everything through this, I hadn't studied this. I hadn't been up to date on, you know, I assumed we'd all die. It was probably a good place when we get over if we're decent people. And then we, you know, and as the great 20th century philosopher Sonny Bono said, the beat goes on, you know. So I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd come into my office and I would meditate and I would light the sage and I would light the candles and I would align my chakras, all these things I kind of stumbled on. And now now looking at stuff, it's so reinforcing, because so validating, because this is what you're supposed to do, to open your chakra up, to open your third eye, to open open your soul up. And that's where I felt him. And I assumed that was because Christopher died between 3 and 4 a.m. I really did, until I went to Andrew Anderson, who said, you know what, it's not that that's not a sacred time for you, but between 3 and 4 is the bewitching hour. That's when the spirits are most active. You know, and it's funny, people have said to me, you know, because there's a lot of rules over there, Angie. You know, we don't make them, right? There's rules. And one of the, somebody said to me, well, why is that? And I laughed one time and I said, the largest mammal on earth is the sperm whale. And yet all it can eat is the smallest plankton in the sea. You know why that is? Because that's the way it is. You know, because 3 and 4 is, so when he wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the other day it was, he woke me up at 3. I finally got my butt out of bed at like 3:20, came in and had a session with him, you know, and that's the time that he and I communicate well. I don't know why that's the rule on the other side, but that's when they're at their best. And I'm pretty good in the morning. So there's times I can't get up and he's like, come on, Dad. You know, get up.
And I'm glad that you're heeding that call, because a lot of us don't get up. I keep a dream journal next to me, and I've had it since 2015. And just I'm fine, you know, scribbling. But then what's interesting is I can go back in that dream journal, and you can see some of the connections.
Yeah. He told me to go downstairs and look at the moon. It was this incredible blood moon that just was beautiful.
Okay, so Joe, we are at the end of our program.
That's horrible.
I know. So I'm going to end it with just this, and we will continue this discussion. Thank you all for joining us today. Joe, thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart for sharing your genius with the world.
And thank Kat for keeping us online.
Yes, Kat, thank you for a beautiful show as well. I love you, Pop. The rest is all bullshit. What journey. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, my listeners. Until next time.
And Chris and Nick, stay out of trouble up there.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss. Tune in every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and a willingness to keep an open mind about everything that anything is possible. Tune in every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and a willingness to keep an open mind about everything that anything is possible, even in death. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbettKuyper.com. That's AngieCorbettKuyper.com. See you next time.